let's get back to the federal gun laws, though. These are the ones that really clean up the streets. These are the ones when the city prosecutor is handcuffed with a guy that's been in a gun altercation 3 and 4 times. The feds come in and they say, right, we'll prosecute him in federal court, and he won't get probation. He'll go away.
Right.
He'll go to South Dakota in the cold prison up there. And what we're doing here is we're saying, you know, you can't talk to those guys anymore.
And I just think that that's incredibly short-sighted. I think that what we could do is we can continue to obviously recognize that Missourians are passionate about the right to bear arms, that Missourians are passionate about these issues.
I've got guns.
See?
I've got pistols. I've got semi-automatics. I've got revolvers. I've got rifles. You know, I understand.
Right. But at the same time, we cannot go so far as to jeopardize the interagency cooperation. I mean, I don't know if you watched, we had a highway shooter recently.
Right.
You know, we had this guy, just this Looney Tune, that was out there shooting at cars. And, you know, the couple of things that helped get this done was that interagency cooperation between the feds and all the local folks. And I hate to say it, but it was also this license plate reader technology.
I saw that.
Which allowed us to track this guy who had an Illinois plate back to his apartment, get him into custody, and thankfully no one was killed. But you know what? We wouldn't be able to do these things. I don't want to give up all my privacy rights. I don't want to give up Second Amendment rights in the state. I don't want to do any of those things.
I'm the big defender of the Second Amendment.
Exactly. One of the things I want to do, though, is be smart on this. And I don't think this sends the right message. And I think it's also setting us up so that we have to go back in our cities and start basically nullifying state gun laws. Because our state is out of sync with our values in the city, just like this state thinks Washington, D.C. is out of sync with their values.
And I hope that's not the case. I hope that the city of St. Louis and the city of Kansas City isn't out of sync with the rest of the state. I think there may be a very vocal minority that bubbles up in Jefferson City, but I don't think anybody in this state really wants to stop prosecuting criminals.
Right. I agree. I totally agree. And so, you know, when we vote on this here in a little bit, you're going to hear some no votes, and they're probably all going to come from the Democratic side, and that's fine. But I want to make it very clear, this isn't a Republican versus Democratic issue, because I know for a fact that the vast majority of my caucus own guns and are supporters of the Second Amendment. Instead, we are looking back to our cities and this horrible plague of violence that we have, and we are saying that this doesn't help us, this only hurts us. And so I guess my ask here tonight, Senator, is if people could, you know, listen to what the mayors are saying, and as we move forward over the next 1 year, 2 years, 4 years, however long that you're in this chamber, when the cities come back to you, when the prosecutors, when the police come back to you, and they say, hey, here's a tool we could use to help fight crime, to take guns out of the hands of criminals, not law-abiding citizens. Please listen to us. Be open-minded. Don't say no just because it seems anti-gun. What we're trying to do is make our citizens safer, and that's all we want.
You know, I got to tell you the story. The police chief before the one we have now in the city of St. Louis, I was first elected. He came up to visit me when I was on the third floor here. And I said, what can I do to help you? How can I help you? He said, the biggest problem I have is my guys will pull over a car with 4 guys in it. One guy will be 21 years old. He'll have a license. All 4 of them will have guns. We'll pull over a car, the 3 of them giving the one guy with the license, so he's sitting there with 4 cars, with 4 guns, and we can't do anything to him. They're all his. And now in here, we're lowering it down to 19.
Yeah.
I think we're going in the wrong direction there.
I think we are. I really think we are. And, you know, we are hopefully on the edge of passing this incredibly tough on crime criminal code.
Yeah.
And because of the constant state of debate of firearms in this assembly, we don't have anything in there. We just don't have it. We had to remove the pieces altogether because it's just constantly changing. And I just want to get to a place where when a prosecutor comes to us and says, you know what, one of the things I could use is increased penalties when, you know, you have someone with a firearm who has done X, Y, or Z. And I don't want that to be a conversation that you can't even have because it started with the word firearm.
Right.
So, right. Well, Senator, I just want to thank you very much. I know that your mayor has been passionate about this. I know that my mayor has been passionate about this. And I just wanted to take an opportunity to talk about the real-life impact that this has on our cities.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. President.
Senator from the 10th.
May I inquire of the Senator from the 9th?
Does the Senator from the 9th yield? She does proceed.
Senator, thank you for your inquiry. I know that the previous senator from the 9th and I have had several discussions about this issue over the years, and you know, it's really hard to balance the priorities and the passions of rural Missouri versus urban Missouri.
It is. It's difficult.
And I remember several years ago there was a bill on the floor that had to do with changing the laws relating to the adult-oriented businesses.
I remember that.
And you know, it was clear that the majority of the General Assembly was very passionate about getting that piece of legislation passed. And I did not want to be the only person that stood up and talked about, you know, the importance of letting folks deal with this on a local basis. And so I was trying to handle a lot of this off the floor, and I remember that year the senator from the 9th, Senator Wilson, had a bill to try to ban shooting guns for just purely, you know, celebration purposes.
Right, I remember that as well.
And, you know, the senator from the chair of the Judiciary Committee was very clear. He said, you know what, that may be something that you want to do in Kansas City, but that's not something we want to do, you know, outstate. I said, fair enough. I said, just, you know, kind of leave us alone. And I said, but what about this whole strip club thing? I mean, that may not be something you want down in Mount Vernon, but maybe that's something Kansas City wants,
right,
you know?
Right.
You know, I hear that's one way to attract big conventions to your city, including the Republican National Convention. And I just think that maybe if that's something that we want and you don't want, I mean, you know, how do you say no on guns and yes on strip clubs? And he said, you know what, I don't have an answer for that. He said, that's just my personal belief and that's how I'm going to vote. And I guess I've just been increasingly frustrated at some of the legislation that we've passed down here, and I'm scared we're getting to a point where the majority of the body obviously feels this way, and I appreciate that.
Right.
But these huge populations on either side of the state are suffering right now. And this is not helping.
Isn't.
And so, you know, I know that you and I have both talked to our mayor at length. And I know that you have probably had a chance to see the gun violence in our communities. And,
absolutely.
And I don't know if I had the statistics right, Senator. I don't know if we were at 107 last year, if you remember that. I don't know how you feel. Every November, December, as we start creeping toward the 100 mark, you probably feel the same way I do. It's like, can't we just have a year where we don't murder over 100 people in our city?
Right. Yeah, you talk about creeping toward the end of the year, and then our murder rate is increasing. Of course, I also get nervous creeping toward the warm summer months, of course, because that's when we know crime increases in my community. And It is. It's something that we're extremely concerned about, something that I wish we would let the local authorities to be able to decide what's best for their communities in this regard. And, you know, we're at the point, we just don't want to undermine the safety of our neighborhood, certainly not my urban area. And I know, of course, St. Louis suffers from some of the same statistics and same socioeconomic circumstances and murder rates and crime rates and all those other things. And we don't want to make it easier for criminals to get guns. You know, I think all of us believe that law-abiding citizens should be able to have their guns. The concern is not the law-abiding citizens. The concerns, of course, are the criminals with the guns, not the folks who are not breaking the law. And it becomes difficult for us to try to mitigate that in certain circumstances when we have laws such as these or legislation that, you know, potentially prevent federal law enforcement, of course, from working with our local officials to be able to combat gang violence and other types of violence. And, you know, you talked a little bit about the highway shooter a few minutes ago, and I apologize. I was engaged in some conversations for an amendment to the side there. But that was only effective because of the work and the cooperation of all of the law enforcement agencies working together to try to come up with the person who, of course, was on Highway 71 and Highway 470 shooting randomly at vehicles. And there were 20 shootings of people just driving down the highway. And it was amazing, absolutely amazing, that no one was killed in those shootings.
Right.
Of 20 shootings, no one was killed. And we would not have been able to find that person if we did not have technology. We talked earlier about the license plate readers. Okay, that was extremely effective in trying to find that individual, as well as the cooperation of all of the law enforcement agencies coming together to try to figure out who this person was. Of course, they were endangering a person in a whole entire area of our city. So it is of extreme concern when we have legislation such as this. And you know, again, I think we can say it over and over and over and over again. We are not wanting to prevent any law-abiding citizens from having guns. We're not. We're not trying to prevent any law-abiding citizens from doing certain things that they need within their normal right. Our concern clearly happens to be the crime in our area. And it is one that is of significant concern of many in my area. You know, every year when I come back, in the interim, one of the main issues we have, of course, is crime. We know that the gun lobby here is extremely strong. They had a whole campaign a couple summers ago where they wanted to have it so we couldn't buy bullets within the city limits. Or we had to, you know, there are an array of ideas that folks in communities that happen to be so impacted by crime statistics and the crime rate, there are some very significant ideas that they have to be able to control it. But it becomes very difficult for them to do that when we have legislation here at the state that supersedes some of those same ways in which we know we need to be able to keep our constituents in our area safe. And it makes it really difficult for us. So I agree with you 100% that it becomes a very sensitive issue for us when we talk about legislation such as this that would prevent, of course, federal law enforcement from cooperating with our local law enforcement agencies to be able to combat crime and drugs and murders and all those other things that happen to be a very significant concern in my area.
So, and Senator, I agree with everything that you've said. And I just hope that our colleagues understand that this is a situation that is not just a headline. This is people dying.
Right.
And our police and our mayor and our prosecutor, all of these folks have said, please stop passing laws that affect our ability to crack down on this violence.
Right. Right.
And I think that you can pass incredibly, incredibly tough, or however you want to call it, gun laws that shore up the Second Amendment rights and then reiterate it every, you know, over and over and over again. You can do that. I get that. But you can do it in such a way that does not bind the hands of those of us that are fighting a fight that is completely different than the folks in rural Missouri are having
right.
to fight.
At this point, Senator, you know we are just trying to keep our communities safe, okay? It was interesting because I had a whole conversation with my mom last weekend, and my mom, who, of course, was very just fed up with crime. Of course, in the city, we had an instance. As you know, there was a guy that had pulled up at one of the local gas stations with his 10-year-old son and younger daughter to get gas. And, you know, he had gone, I think, to pay and come back. And then a guy came by and shot him 8 times, killed him. And his son, 10-year-old son, of course, is in the hospital, has been in the media quite a bit in Kansas City. And he's paralyzed, I believe, from the chest down or neck down.
That's correct.
And this is a 10-year-old kid who just stopped with his dad to get gas on any normal, regular day. And it's frustrating. And I will tell you that my mom, of course, was then of the mindset that, you know what the police need to do? They just need to go through an entire neighborhood with 20 police cars and do a complete sweep of every car in that area. And I said, well, you know the challenge with that. as much as that, and here's the thing, even in regard to the license plate reader, when we had to have the conversation, we had the conversation earlier with the senator from the 7th, we don't necessarily want a violation of rights of individuals, but at some point, where do we begin to intercede enough where it begins to protect our citizens in our areas? And that's where I think there should be more local control than state control of some of these issues. I agree, if you happen to live in a rural area and you don't have much crime and you can go to sleep at night and you know you can leave all your windows up and all your doors unlocked and nothing ever happens, that is fantastic.
Absolutely.
But that is not the reality in my area. We would never leave a window open at night or up. We would never, ever leave our doors unlocked, because that is the area that we happen to live in. And I believe at certain times, desperate times call for desperate measures. And, you know, as the weather is beginning to get warmer, times will become more desperate over the summer. And when we talk about some of these ways in which that we would be able to better impact the safety of the folks that live in my district, then I certainly wish that we would give more considerations to allowing some of these things to be handled locally, you know, instead of somewhat globally or at least statewide for us. I mean, some of the issues clearly for us, as you know, are not the same issues they have in other areas, and some of their issues are not the same reality for us. So I think that, you know, when we talk about legislation such as this and you know, gun legislation, I think that we really need to do the citizens of this state a favor and really begin to give some consideration to what is wanted or needed in that specific area of the state. And, you know, it's a fundamental problem we have here with not just this legislation, as you said, with other things as well. But when we really begin to talk about personal safety, I don't think any of us in this chamber want to feel as if our families at home or night are not safe. And I will tell you, in some communities and some neighborhoods within my district, that is the case.
You're absolutely
and,
right, Senator.
You know, so it's a challenge for us. As we, you know, as I said, we talked about the license plate readers earlier. We're talking about the cooperation or lack of, if this should pass, between federal agencies and local law enforcement. And that is extremely dangerous for communities and neighborhoods such as mine.
I think, Senator, that you could pass year after year after year legislation that shows how serious this General Assembly is about the Second Amendment and the right to bear arms in this state, and you could do it in such a way that does not push the limits of what we're doing right now. There is no reason to interfere with the federal government and their ability to crack down on crime in our cities. It's not necessary.
Right.
This fear that the federal government is going to swoop in and take our guns is so far from reality, Senator. It's
right.
Just not going to happen. The reality is, I mean, we've seen those attempts in D.C. They fall flat on their face.
Right.
This country is not going to change its passion for the Second Amendment or for firearms. It's not.
Of course
it's
not.
Part of our culture.
Right.
And so what we're saying is do it in a way that is constitutional. Do it in a way that does not interfere with our local efforts, not
right.
to take weapons away. We're not saying that. But to crack down on the criminals who can't seem to stop this violence.
Right.
Well,
you know, I know. We could have this conversation probably all day. And, you know, we don't want to make it easier for criminals to get guns. And, you know, I've said it a couple times before, and we're not trying to keep guns or anything else from anyone who happens to be law-abiding folks. But, you know, we've had programs in Kansas City and St. Louis where they were able to get a few hundred guns, 200 or 300 guns from criminals, not law-abiding citizens, from criminals in operations or programs that were, of course, coordinated among the different agencies. And certainly this legislation prevents that.
Absolutely.
And, it really, it undermines the safety of urban neighborhoods. That's what
I agree. I agree. Well, Senator, I appreciate it. I just want to make sure that our colleagues know that, you know, I don't want your guns. I don't want them. My mayor doesn't want your guns. My police don't want your guns. None of us want your guns. We're not coming for your guns.
We don't want them.
What we want is to be left alone in a constitutional way to police our neighborhoods so that they can be safer for our citizens. We are just as passionate about the safety of our citizens as you are of yours. And so we're just asking that you would have an open mind as we move forward on ways that we could correct our problems and balance that with the issues as you see them as they relate to weapons and to the Second Amendment.
Right.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Further discussion on the Senate substitute? Does any other senator desire to be heard on the Senate substitute? Hearing none, Senator from Franklin, you are recognized to close on the Senate sub.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I do want to mention to my colleagues that have been having these discussions, even though I did step out of the chamber, I was actually listening for real in my office. I had mentioned before I had a little hypoglycemia, and that's why I had that little challenge that I created for the clerks a little while ago, so I wanted to correct that. But I was actually listening, and you know, not just listening so that I might have a way to rebut what they were saying, but listening to actually listen. I know a lot of people might find it hard to believe, but I do try, not always successfully, but I do try to use a concept called seek first to understand and then to be understood. And so while I do, I can say that I genuinely try to understand the concerns that have been brought up. I think what we've heard from our fellow senators that have stood in opposition to this bill, I think it is truly genuine, and I think they have shared sincere concerns with us. Mr. President, when I look at this letter from the mayors of Kansas City and St. Louis, I'm not sure that I can say the same thing about the letter. Okay. As far as I know, neither one of these mayors reached out. I had heard, it was actually the first I'd heard that these mayors were in the building. I see Representative Funderburk is here, and although I'm not allowed to speak to him from here to there, and he's not allowed to speak to me, I would imagine that him either shaking his head yes or no would probably not break any Senate rules. And so I'm just wondering out loud if whether or not either of these mayors physically came and talked to Representative Funderburk. It appears as though I'm getting a shake of the head that in American tradition this means no. And I think that I can say on behalf of what I've just seen on the part of the Representative Funderburk that neither of these mayors came and talked to him. Neither of these mayors came and talked to me. I do think that's worth mentioning. I think it's worth mentioning not only on the floor of the Senate, but I think it's worth mentioning publicly. I think it's worth mentioning everywhere that these mayors are so concerned about this law, but they weren't concerned enough to go speak to the House sponsor nor the Senate handler. So that's the first thing that I would mention, Mr. President. The next thing that I would do if I thought the letter was sincere, which I don't. I don't think the letter is sincere. I think the letter brings up a number of things that are just absolute ruses. I think the letter brings up things that these mayors know are not true. But since these mayors didn't see fit to come and talk to either the House sponsor or the Senate handler, I think I won't go ahead and acknowledge the letter that they have since distributed to the General Assembly, because I think most of us see right through that. So, Mr. President, this bill has been a long ways in the making, and I've got a feeling that we're not done with this bill yet. This bill is like, Freddy Krueger, the Freddy Krueger movies, where every time they think it's done, it's not. Every time you think he's dead, he's not. And so I'm not foolish enough to think that we're done with this bill. But, Mr. President, for right now, for today, we're done with this bill because I'm about to say the words, I close.